Untitled, Elder Thomas E. McKay, Thomas E. McKay, Conference Report, October 1945, pages 75-80, President Smith, Brethren and Sisters, it is a delight to welcome our sisters into our midst again. I was thrilled, and I am sure all of you were, with the splendid tribute that our President, in his wonderful opening remarks, paid to the mothers and daughters of our church. It was also refreshing in the meeting in the temple, with the mission presidents, to hear nearly all of them express appreciation for the work their wives are doing in helping them in their great responsibilities. I wish their wives could have been there to hear them. I commend the example of these mission presidents to all the men of the church, to feel appreciative not only of what our wives are doing for us but also to express that appreciation. I am sure there would be more sunshine and love in our homes, and in the world generally, if all, not only felt but expressed such appreciation. A tribute to the brethren left in charge in Europe. In the early spring of 1940, the last of the missionaries, American missionaries, left Europe. Sister McKay, our daughter, Louise, and four very choice missionaries sailed from Italy and came home by way of Gibraltar. Brother Gaston Chapuis and his bride sailed from Lisbon. Since that time, nearly 6 years now, our missions, nine of them in Europe, have been directed by local elders, and at this time I wish to pay tribute publicly and express appreciation for the work that these fine brethren have done. They have been working under unusual and very difficult conditions, but they have carried on. They've held their meetings, nearly all of them, including branch, district, and annual conferences. The missions have been self-supporting. The tithing, in fact, has increased from year to year. They have visited the branches as often as possible under the trying conditions. Many of them have attempted to maintain a missionary system, and most of the missions have had a few missionaries, and some of them quite a large force. The British at one time, Brother Anastasio reported, had 325 part-time missionaries. Brother Anastasio, his wife, and two children are here now. The British mission is again presided over by President Hugh B. Brown, who is doing a wonderful work, not only as president of the mission but also and especially among the servicemen. He writes that he needs more missionaries. Our acting mission presidents are also looking forward to the time when missionaries will be again in their midst. In a recent letter from President Brown, he states, "We need missionaries, experienced men, preferably older men such as ex-bishops or men who have had experience in presiding." The Danish mission. In the Danish mission, address, Priorvej 12, Copenhagen F, Brother Orson West is in charge. He is a very fine man. He writes and speaks English quite fluently, although he was born and has always lived in Denmark. In a recent letter he states, "We are all looking forward to receiving missionaries again in the Danish mission. A problem which has been a serious one during the war is the coal and fuel situation. For the time being it is worse than ever. Peat is not the best fuel, but we will have to do with that during the coming winter. I am sure it is not good for our central heating plant to use only peat, which deposits so much soot. Regarding help to families and persons in our mission, I beg to inform you that as far as food is concerned we can get along. Our people in Norway and Finland need it much more than we do. We would be more than happy, however, to receive underwear, shirts, stockings, and socks. Especially the babies need these things very much. It is almost impossible to buy babies' clothing." The East German mission. In the East German mission when we left, I happened to be in Berlin when war was declared. Brother Herbert Klopfer was placed in charge, another fine young man who speaks English fluently. In fact, all of our mission presidents except two speak or write English, and those two have secretaries who can translate for them. Brother Klopfer, before we left Switzerland, was called into the service, not as a soldier, but to do secretarial work. The next we heard of him after we returned home was through Sweden. He was in Denmark and had attended services there and had taken part in their testimony meeting. The last word is that he is reported missing on the Russian front. The members are carrying on, however, and his counselors, Elder Richard Ranglack, now acting mission president, and Elder Paul Langheinrich are doing a splendid work. A letter dated August 19, 1945, states, "Had two wonderful meetings today. At 2 p.m. just a priesthood meeting with 45 present. At 4 we held a memorial service in honor of President Grant. There were at least 250 to 300 present in a hall big enough to hold 175. It was just as full of spirit as it was of people. The old mission home at Ondalali is a pile of rubble. A sign in front gives the information that the office is now at Rathenauer Str. 52, Berlin NW 21, only two blocks north and east of the old location. The French mission. The French mission, as you know, is divided into three districts. Belgium, France, and French Switzerland. This mission was not left in charge of one acting president, but three district presidents, very fine young men who have been carrying on in the same effective way as have our acting presidents. They are Brother Paul de Vignes of the Belgium district, Brother Leon Fargier for France, and Brother R. Simon for the French-Swiss district. Brother Simon has managed in some way to send a monthly report during the entire war. The Netherlands mission. In the Netherlands mission the branches are also carrying on. Brother J. Shippenbord writes, during the war years we have endeavored to keep the right course, our old buildings, and the rented halls, too. We have improved if possible so that they have become more valuable for our services. In the Rotterdam branch we have built a baptismal fount, a new organ was also secured. Owing to the food scarcity, many of the faithful saints had to be supported by money or in kind. You no doubt know that the mission house in The Hague had to be evacuated, and we finally moved and rented a place in Utrecht. Martin Harpert Soon, Tromstra 36, The Norwegian Mission, in Norway, address, Osterhaugs GT 27, Oslo. Brother Osanstabi, also a very fine man, has been carrying on. He writes, I have been on a visit to North Norway and saw the saints there. We held three meetings at Narvik, probably the most northern branch in the world. The branch has scarcely been visited during the war, but the saints there have kept together in faithfulness and held their meetings regularly. The branch has been visited in the past by some of the leading authorities from Zion during their stay here in Norway, among others, Apostles David O. McKay and Joseph F. Merrill. As travel conditions are today, the trip was very strenuous, but it was a great joy to me to see the saints. The Swedish mission. From the Swedish mission we have received letters and reports all during the war, and Brother Fritz Johansson has done a splendid work, not only in keeping us in touch with the Swedish mission, but also the sister missions of Denmark and Norway. August 7th to the 22nd he also made a trip in the north up to Finland. Two people were baptized, and they organized a relief society. I discern, he says, the awful poverty that prevails in Finland. They need food as well as clothing in order to keep them from freezing this winter. The Swiss mission. We have heard from the Swiss mission, also a neutral country, occasionally. Brother Max Zimmer, Sr., Leominster 49, Basel, is the acting mission president. He has been especially helpful to our servicemen who were interned in Switzerland and in prison camps in Germany. A conference held at Easter time in their own chapel in Basel, the only church-owned chapel in Switzerland, is reported as being of the largest conferences ever held in the Swiss mission. The West German mission. In the West German mission, the home and office is one of the few buildings still standing in beautiful Frankfurt on the Main. It is only slightly damaged with a few broken windows. A bomb had hit near the building but only cracked the walls slightly and left a large crater where it struck. Most of the rest of Frankfurt on the Main is just piles of rubble. Our meeting place was completely burned out. Brother Friedrich Buhl, J.R., was left in charge, a very fine young man, but he was called into the service before we left, and Brother Christian Heck, another young man, was called to take his place. Brother Heck was also called into the service, and Brother Anton Huck, an elderly brother, was called to preside and is doing so now. It is reported that the two young men who had been called into the armed service were both killed. Austrian report. In Austria, our meeting places have not been damaged except in Vienna, but our members are still meeting in number 20 St. Angus. A Russian cannon grenade struck high in the rear of the church building, breaking only a few windows in the chapel part, but inflicting a good-sized hole in the upper region of the apartment building. When the occupying Russians looked over the building, our church occupying about one-third of it, they were told it was an American church and so they left it alone. Later, when the Americans came, they in turn, looked over the building but when they saw the work of the grenade they also left, and so the members continued to meet in their accustomed place. Vienna, our correspondent continues, is a hungry city, a city with ever so little food, fuel, light, housing, and transportation. These are difficult times, and I fear that the coming winter will be one long to be remembered. Just recently, I visited the Allgemeine Krankenhaus, the largest and most famous hospital in Vienna, and there the situation was the same. Even in a hospital, word from Czechoslovakia. In Czechoslovakia, Brother Joseph Rubik, Trisova LC8, Prague 2, writes, I wish to inform you that after 6 years of war, all members of the church have remained well and alive. It has been a terrible time. We have remained faithful however, and we await you. The work of the Lord here has not been disturbed. We often think of you and the missionaries. Here there is great need and distress, great hunger among the people. The saints, however, have continued to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Their testimonies of the truthfulness of the gospel have not wavered, even in the worst moments of the great conflict. The two branches in the Palestine-Syrian mission are carrying on as usual, and food is also scarce there. In fact, it always is, our servicemen praised. Much of this information that has been received has come from our servicemen and several of our chaplains assigned to these European countries, and I should like to take this opportunity to express appreciation publicly for these servicemen. They have done, and are doing, a wonderful work. Our members are also very thankful for the kindness and help of our servicemen. I will take time to quote from one letter. It is typical of many others. After referring to the splendid work that President Brown did in his recent visit to Belgium, the writer says, "Our good friend and brother, Chaplain Howard C. Badger, has reported to you about activities in this country, but he failed to point out the successful mission that he filled in our branches. Not only did he deliver stimulative sermons supported by a strong background, but although a serviceman, he assisted the needy and was somewhat like Father Christmas to our children, some of whom never knew chocolates or sweets before. We will surely remember him over here for his attractive character, personifying the successful missionary. It was also my privilege to welcome and to greet a great many servicemen since September 1944. Although we never met before, we felt immediately like best brothers ready to help each other with all our might." He speaks of going to a cemetery, and with reference to that I should like to read a paragraph from a young French sister. She says, "On October 19, 1944, I copied a dedication from the tomb of a military Mormon which is found in the cemetery of Henri Chapelle in Belgium. We have promised to visit the cemeteries and search out the tombs of our brother Mormons who died to liberate us, and we will do all we can to place flowers on their graves just as though they were our own beloved sons. I just cannot say too much for our servicemen. I have heard directly from more than a score of them, and indirectly from more than a dozen others. Several of our chaplains, as I stated, are also in these occupied countries and are also doing an outstanding work. We have had letters from them from the Scandinavian missions, the Netherlands, Belgium, France, and quite a large number from Germany and Austria. The only way we can get letters and help to Germany and Austria is through these servicemen. We are permitted, however, to send 11-pound packages by parcel post to the other missions, but these must be mailed to some person direct. We have now received from our acting mission president several hundred names and addresses, and we had hoped to get these packages over before Christmas. There has been some delay, however, but the names are on file in the welfare office and are awaiting the go-ahead signal from a special committee appointed by the First Presidency to supervise this matter. In all the missions, as you have noted, shoes, underwear, and other warm clothing, especially for babies and young children, are needed. I do hope and pray that we can get help to them so that they will not suffer too much from cold and hunger this coming winter. The waiter piece, "May our servicemen and our members in these war-torn countries, and all of us, lives of Latter-day Saints. May we cultivate tolerance and love for one another and for all mankind. This war is but an awful chapter written in the eternal long struggle between right and wrong, between love and hate, chastity and unchastity, greed and unselfishness. As long as hate and lust for power control the hearts of men, real peace can find no resting place in the world. Only love can bring peace. Anyone who permits himself to hate any person, or any people, makes his own small but vital contribution towards the discord and trouble, while he who seeks to love others, even his enemies, makes his own priceless contribution to peace. True, lasting peace, when it comes to the world, will be made up of the many tricklets of love flowing from the hearts of the people to a common understanding and a common goal. The gift of peace on earth and goodwill to men was offered to the world in the gospel of living taught by our Savior in his earthly ministry. He made love of God and love of mankind fundamental, and declared, 'On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.' The power of love alone can permanently disarm the world. May our Father in heaven help us to realize this and to govern our lives accordingly. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen."